How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Courier, very good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Well, I don't know if I'm great, but I'm great because of you.
Because of me? What did I do?
Because of you, because of Chai FM, because of the community, because of the SA Jewish Board of Deputies, because of the Angel Network, because of you guys, 50,000 rand made its way to my little community in Bazwan, and up to 700 people will eat for 1 month.
Oh, wow. My word. I get cold shivers. That
please
is
a round of applause. That we please.
Where's our studio audience?
What a studio audience. They're
social distancing.
They're social distancing. Yeah. So hold on. We've got to get them the message. Oh, there we go. We finally got that message. That makes me so happy. That is fantastic. Wow.
I promise you, and I have tears in my eyes. You cannot believe we're putting out a pack that has over 35 kilograms of food and good food. I mean, it's got good protein and good staples in it and household stuff that you really need. And it certainly will keep a family of 4 to 6 for a whole month. And that's something, look, we've given out food parcels, but we've never given them out with this level of stuff in it. And another shout out, Howard, because in amongst the stuff that we're handing out from you guys, we have added to that from huge sponsors. Santa's Shoebox has brought in a thing called subs, which are reusable sanitary towels that will last a girl child for an entire school career. Menstrual cups, which are 2,000 rand a piece. Imagine.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy money, right? And then on top of that, they delivered 52,000 meals, and those were delivered to 12 primary schools in our region. So every child has eaten this week as well. So, like, it's just magical being on the receiving end of Ubuntu. Thank you, South Africa, very much.
Makes me so happy. That is absolutely amazing. Tell us what's gone on in the social media. We seem to be back to our old ways.
Oh, we never learned.
I was just hoping.
We just changed our topic of conversation.
Well, I suppose.
I mean, like the amount of whinging. Firstly, let's deal with that. It's just whinging, whinge. Yes, guys, of course we're going to come out of lockdown. It is going to happen.
Yeah.
We had a successful level 5. We not only flattened the curve, we annihilated it.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Well done us, but instead we're whinging and whinging.
Oh, no.
Okay, we've got to put everybody back into what is a new normal. And nobody knows what the new normal is.
No, we don't have a clue. And there's no country that knows it. And I keep trying to say this, is we all bumbling along trying to figure this out. Nobody knows.
We're making errors hand over fist. And of course we are.
Yeah.
We are not New Zealand. We are not South Korea, who have come out of this thing successfully as well. Mm. We are in a third world situation, guys.
It's true, though.
You know, none of those countries have got what we've got. This is a completely different playing ground.
Mm.
So I think, you know, the big message, the screaming message, because every time you turn on the TV, you see these massive jumps in infection rates. And people are like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling this almost disdain for the numbers.
One of our listeners actually rightfully complained about, not about me, but if they're saying I do it as well, and we all do, is we just like rattle off numbers, but we're not thinking of what those numbers actually mean to real people and real families.
Correct. And look, I think a lot of it is because we're sort of resigning ourselves to the inevitable.
Mm.
You know, once we do leave lockdown, we are going to have infection rates all around us. And that's not what we set out to fix. What we set out to fix is how we change our behavior going forward, how we flatten the curve and prepare our country that's really not on solid ground anyway for a very rocky ride, you know? So I think the screaming message from those infection rates should not be, oh, well, you're doing more testing than in the Western Cape, so hence you've got more infection numbers, and yeah, well, everybody's going to get it. It should be, guys, you have to change your behavior. We have to embrace a new normal. We have to self-distance if you can. And this is the tragedy in our country, is the numbers scream self-distancing, but a good 60% of our country can't self-distance. Mm. And how do we deal with that? Mm. Instead of winking, let's try and pick up the pieces now, because we're getting out. We are definitely going out there, okay? So let's try and pick up the pieces and see how one feeds one is a lovely hashtag, you know? Like, yeah. How do we help those that can help, and those that can self-distance, do it. And those that can't, how do we help them too? Mm. You know? Mm. So I've been reading the news media with a very different, attitude, because I know that we're going to move out, you know, but South Africa still seems to be caught in, the lockdown regulation. So let's go there. Glenda Gray. Oh my word.
Yeah. That was an interesting one. How did social media respond to her?
Not very well at all. I mean, they certainly, look, she put out her initial post. And here's the thing, is the one thing South Africans have been so enamored with is the science, okay? We've been really, really happy to receive scientific fact and scientific feedback from the parties that be. So here walks in a scientist that says the lockdown wasn't backed by science at all. Okay. And it turns out it's now unraveled something that we should know is there, because it's not a different country, guys. Just because you're a scientist doesn't mean fraud and corruption walked out with the lab coat and the microscope.
You know? I know. Like, what are we thinking? Like, we're so naive. We're beautifully naive, actually, I think.
We are so naive. So, of course, there's ego and there's fraud and all sorts of stuff in that scientific world. So now we have to judge our scientists too. So when Glenda Gray comes out and says there's no science behind the lockdown, and Dr. Zweli Mkhize comes back and says, but hang on, 50 of your advisories and their information were accepted in our move through lockdown. Yours, Glenda.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then she comes back to say, no, it wasn't the lockdown I was questioning. I was questioning the regulations of things like closed toe shoes. And why am I being singled out? And it's at that point that I wanted to hit the roof. Why didn't she finish the sentence? Mm. Why am I being singled out? Because I'm white. Finish your sentence, Glenda, because that is what you're trying to say. Wow. Sorry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I feel like this is like that question, which South Africans?
Yeah, the which South Africans. Yeah, which South Africans? Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I mean, go home to your, I'm sure you've got a luxurious home and you can wear your open shoes and click them twice and say no place like home. Yeah. But anyway, that enough about Glenda. Let's talk about a hero. Angie Motshekga.
Oh my
knew?
Goodness, I thought you were going to say Bianca.
I'm saving her for last.
Okay, good.
But Angie's done well, hasn't she?
Yes, very.
Good heavens.
Very.
Powerful address on the way forward for basic education. Horrific information coming out of there. Mm. 1,500 schools plus being vandalized during the lockdown period. And of course, many schools still don't have sanitation, which is a problem we had a long time ago.
Yeah.
So how do you practice?
You cannot send kids to school in a completely unhygienic situation. I mean, it's beyond dangerous.
Exactly. So, like, this is what we should be helping with. So here's this new normal for schools. It's a fact. Our kids are going back to school. They have to. So what do we do from here? You know, like, some people are lucky enough to be able to do distance learning, but that's not the majority, not by a long shot. So a strong message from Angie Motshekga, and a very clear one. All right, let's go there, shall we?
We have to. I mean, dying to go there. Bianca. So for anyone, I mean, we have spoken about it during the course of the week. She was a Miss South Africa, I would say contender.
She was a favorite.
She was a favorite. I didn't know she existed, so I couldn't say she was my favorite, but I didn't even know Miss South Africa still existed, so I definitely couldn't say that. But, some tweets were uncovered, and not some tweets. Look, she was 14, so we do know that there is a discussion around that, but those tweets were vile. I don't even know. She left nobody, as Anati said, everybody was targeted. Fat people, thin people,
ugly people,
slut shaming, racist. It was everything. It was everything and more.
Okay, so I have several questions around the Bianca Miss Fall story, right? The first question is, why do we even have beauty pageants? I've been asking this every year.
Okay, like, we have in now, guys. Stupid. It's just so stupid. Really?
Let's just stick to Instagram, okay? Move your audience to Instagram. Exactly. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is, okay, how old is she now?
21.
I think we know? Yeah, she's 21, so Natty looked into it, yeah.
Okay, so apparently, at the age of 14, you are allowed to go on Twitter, which is another question. Like, my nephew is 13, and he certainly isn't on Twitter. Okay, he's a long way from getting on
Twitter. Well, I'd beg my kids to go on Twitter just to follow me. that's the only reason they went on Twitter.
Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is, I can cast mine back. It was a long time ago. When I was 14, it was a big time in my life, so I can remember it quite clearly. Mm. And I knew exactly what I was doing, friend. Like, you know, like, yes, you're very opinionated at that age. But what came out of my mouth was free Nelson Mandela at that time, okay? Mm. It certainly wasn't a picture of a child the same age, also 14, where she says that he's so black they had to use a white background. Okay.
Oh gosh, I missed that is one. Oh my gosh, that took my breath away. That took my breath away. Yeah. Whew. Okay.
That's what she posted. Now, here's the thing. For those people saying, oh, she's 14, he was 14 too. Did she apologize to that 14-year-old boy for bullying and being a racist?
No,
Tanya,
I think you're missing it. She forgave herself. And yes, once you forgive herself, Tanya, you've...
Not only she forgave herself, she prayed.
And she prayed it away as well. That was the other thing.
In a situation like this, you want, then I'll get incensed. Okay? You don't apologize. I mean, her entire so-called apology was, I was 14. Colors. And I found God. That's it. You know, like, praying does not absolve the hurt that boy went through. And certainly at 14, my nephew would be cross with me today because I referred to the post about a black boy. He refuses to use the word black. He uses the word brown.
That is it.
So, and he's 13. He's not going to put that stuff up. And if he did, his mother would take a belt to his butt.
So Tanya, you know, often I'm asked to speak at schools and especially to teenagers around social media. And, you know, they always say, but what happens if people misunderstand? And my standard line in this regard is, if you are not a racist off social media, there is very little chance you will be a racist on social media. And the reverse applies. So if you actually aren't a racist, stop worrying about it, because the truth of who you are does come through. So, but if you are a racist, the same rule applies. People will see you for who you are.
You know, and today, I read Emma Sandler stole my line, that if you won't put it up on a permanent billboard on the N1 in Johannesburg, don't put it up at all. It's a permanent billboard, guys. And I don't care if you delete stuff or you erase stuff or edit stuff. If somebody snapshots at that thing, it's still going to live. Yeah. So don't even go there. If you're a racist, please stay off social media. Full stop. Keep your views to yourself.
And you can't pray it away, can you?
And God is not going to help you.
I think also another thing, people don't know how to apologize. Bianca and her modeling agency, people just don't, people think that an I'm sorry is okay. I'm sorry I was young.
So, what do you think, what do you think she should have done?
She should have admitted that, she was maybe raised in a racist environment. And she should have apologized.
This is true. She
and
should have thrown her parents under the bus. but the reality is that is where it came from.
It is where it
that
came
is
from.
Where it came
so
from,
she needed to,
be to
she needed to be honest about yeah, that. Is that she grew up in an environment where it was okay to talk about that kind of stuff, maybe at the dinner table, and to actually even say, "I'm stepping down." To say that this has been my dream for the longest time, but I'm stepping down because I understand that I cannot represent South Africa
well,
on
can't.
An international
she cannot.
Stage.
She cannot represent South Africa
exactly.
at all.
Yeah.
In anything, if those are the views, even if she held but no longer holds, because we don't really know what the truth is, if she still holds those views or not, we'll never really know.
And maybe just ask people, what can I do to help to make you guys see that I've grown? That's the thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Ask people, what do I need to do to, you know, because,
you know,
and to actually admit that she maybe has not even, she still has some of those, you know, ideals that she had when she was 14.
Sorry, yes. Tony.
She has friends because here's the thing. In her apology, okay, when you follow an apology with a but or a however, for everything, and here are her words. I would like to profusely apologize with a double P. For putting it out into the universe, then, however, I would like to make you all aware that I've grown as a person. That's not an apology, my friend.
Not at all. Not at all.
But
and it still remains about me, and I've prayed it away, and I've forgiven myself, and I've grown as a person. She doesn't refer to anything outside of herself in terms of the hurt that she's caused.
Yes, that's
the pain
the thing,
that she's caused. It's all about me.
It's all about me. Here's the other thing. Like, it unraveled a whole bunch of stuff in the Miss SA competition that I didn't understand, okay? And maybe someone can level me. But there's another three people who were – another two women who have been singled out with also quite different views on different things. And I mean, we got yesterday we had a tweet and I don't understand it. So I'm really hoping, you know, when you walk into Twitter and you've missed the day events and you can't find what the root of that hashtag was. Well, that was me yesterday when I was following the story. Like, what is the story about, Juanita Cooper?
Yeah. I felt the same thing. I felt the same thing, Tanya, because it was trending all over, and I just could not get to the root.
Is she also one of the?
Yes, one of the, and Azizile there as well. So I was just so over it that I was.
Look, they need to cancel this year because because this is tainted, properly tainted. You can't walk
Juanita
it back.
Apparently took to Twitter to say Steve Biko's testimony was in the terrorism trial of S. Cooper and eight other black consciousness leaders. My dad, S. Cooper, her dad, did 9 years in prison, five of which were in the same cell block as Madiba. My 2018 swim from Robben Island celebrated this and more. To which Twitter's response was, I'm not a racist because my father knows Steve Biko. Like, why do you even into the room, girlfriend?
What?
Why are you stepping into the damn room?
No, and apparently she also mentioned the N-word. Guys, this thing must just be cancelled. Like,
cancel it.
I'm so over it.
Do they think that it's cool to mention the N-word? Like, I don't understand.
But now also this has brought up another issue of people digging up your tweets. It's excavating your tweets from because I think a lot of us, especially, you know, a lot of us in my generation have tweeted a lot of problematic things, including me, actually, when we were younger in varsity. And now there's that whole thing of, you know, how do you prove to people that you've grown, that you literally, you were young?
It is a, look, so I would say we actually are out of time, but it's a valid question. The first thing here is, can she ever represent South Africa with this kind of a past? No, she can't. She's gone. Out. Number two, do we believe the sincerity of her apology? Well, I think the question is, and that is, do we believe that she's grown? And my answer is no.
Yeah.
And no. I think. Sorry.
Are we going to leave this conversation without talking about farting on TV?
No, we have to talk about that. What did that actually happen?
So apparently, look, I heard it. You heard it. Yes, everybody heard it. She farted on TV.
Right.
She excused her.
She did. God, she said, excuse
and
me.
And I pooped for her. Like, I really did pooped for her. But then the Eastern Cape Health Department comes out with a statement that says that she apologized for bumbling her words, not for farting, and that the pooping was a sound that the SABC put into the background.
Yes, because SABC do that sort of thing. But I saw another statement saying that there was no unauthorized release of something or something.
Unauthorized release of gas.
I swear to you. Do you know that...
Have a weekend every night.
And you as well, Tanya. Wait, wait, before you go. Before you go, yes. Gimple says, Tanya, have a lovely Eid from Gimple and all Chai listeners. Oh, so yeah, I didn't want to let you go without that. Have a great one. And yeah, indeed, Phil says, well done to Chai, the Jewish Board of Deputies, and to Tanya for the superb generosity to those who don't have. Shabbat shalom. Keep healthy and keep...